The aging of America is about to pick up speed. Next year, the first baby boomers will turn 65. The number of seniors will more than double in coming decades in what some folks call a silver tsunami. One thing that's not expected to change, the overwhelming majority of the elderly will want to grow old in their own homes. The challenge of doing that will be greater as Americans live longer than ever. But across the country, in ways high-tech and low, a quiet revolution aims to help. Today, NPR's Jennifer Ludden begins a series on aging at home, and her first story takes a look at seniors who are reaching out to the neighbors for support.
In their large kitchen, with its view into the backyard garden and pool, Betty O'Connor hands a glass of water to her husband, Jack.
It's been a long day. There you go.
Betty is 80. Jack, 85. 5 years ago, he suffered brain injury after a fall. A recent hip replacement left him frail. Then an allergic reaction to the anesthesia stole even more of his memory.
This is my miracle man. And Jack and I do not want to leave the house.
Oh, no. I don't know what the alternatives are. I can't think of a good one.
Actually, Betty knows exactly what the alternatives are. Assisted living, a nursing home. She's visited these places. She doesn't like them at all.
It's very depressing. It's very depressing. We're seniors, it's true. But we like to be around young people. And we like to be around different people. I mean, not the same. There's so many walkers over there. And I feel sorry for them because they're in these long corridors. And I don't know. I just like the openness here.
Desperate to stay in their own home, the O'Connors have a plan. If and when Jack can no longer climb the stairs, they'll convert the first-floor family room to a bedroom. But they know they won't be able to manage alone. They'll need help, and they have a plan for that, too.
Deirdre,
nice to meet you, Deirdre. We always like to have people have name tags on.
In Chevy Chase, Maryland, the O'Connors are part of a group of people banding together to help each other grow old at home. Betty's taken the lead in spreading the word and recruiting members. On this day, she's brought out 4 dozen people, nearly all women, to mix and mingle at the community center. There are cookies and lemonade in the corner.
You're looking very, very spring-like, Anne.
These get-togethers are the first step to creating what's called a village. It's a growing movement. There are 50 of these nonprofit groups across the country, 100 more in the works. Their mission, to do whatever they can to help neighbors stay put.
Capitol Hill Village, this is Julie speaking. How can I help you?
This Washington, D.C. village is run out of a row house basement. In 3 years, it's signed on 350 members. There's an annual fee, $500 to $800, to pay for a small staff. Members can then make all manner of requests, day or night.
A carpet cleaner. We have some of those. We have a vendor for that, actually. Hold on one sec.
There's also a long list of volunteers to help with odd jobs. On another phone call, Julie Magiancalda tries to make sure someone's garden gets watered.
I actually just tried to attempt to call him this morning to see what the status was of his garden because I knew he had a nephew coming who could water at the moment.
So a lot of villages are in better-off neighborhoods, but Capitol Hill and others use private grants or public money to offer steep discounts to those who need it. And frequent callers may well get their money's worth.
Fix my computer, program my watch, or why is it I can't download that?
Executive Director Gail Cohn says tech help is a big need. So is transportation. The village coordinates rides to doctor's appointments, the grocery store, the airport. Then there are activities to help keep members in shape.
We have a third of our volunteers who are 30 and younger, and they very much like playing Wii with our members, which helps the members with balance.
Take your right hand, reach for your right toe. How does that feel?
The village also puts on this monthly balance class. In the basement of a local library, a dozen seniors perch on the edge of chairs, bent over a leg. The hope is that all this stretching may help prevent a dangerous spill in the shower or tumble down the stairs.
Is that where you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I feel it more.
You feel it in your bottom?
Exercise, tech help, car rides. It may sound like small stuff. But added together, this support can have a huge impact. For some, members say it can make the difference between feeling the need to move into assisted living or having the confidence to stick it out on your own a few more months, maybe years.
I can manage. Thank you.
Patricia Witt climbs out of the passenger side of a car in front of her Capitol Hill townhouse. She wears those boxy black sunglasses seniors like, and she's leaning on a walking cane. A Village volunteer has just brought her home from a doctor's appointment.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Witt is 75. She's had a heart valve replaced. She's nearly lost sight in one eye and is recovering from surgery in the other. After a bit of fumbling with the lock, she gets in the door.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I made some iced tea this morning, if you would like some.
That sounds lovely.
One of the hardest parts of creating a village is getting seniors to ask for help. From childhood, we're urged to do things on our own. When that suddenly changes, aging experts say it can feel alien and depressing. But as her heart and eyes started to fail her, Patricia Witt says she felt vulnerable.
I am so afraid I'm going to fall. And so then, of course, I've got stairs here.
Pretty steep ones, in fact.
But that's really good because I could go up on my knees, actually. I can crawl upstairs.
The front stoop, though, was a menace. Capitol Hill Village found a handyman to put up a railing. The village rides save cab money, and knowing she has a support group to call on means her children, who live in the Midwest, don't have to worry so much. Most of all, Witt says being part of a neighborhood village allows her to keep her privacy and independence.
I mean, I love my children, and they're very supportive of me, and we have a lot of same interests.
But to live with them? No thanks. This is her home, Witt says. She plans to stay here as long as she can. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
You can find out how to start a village in your neighborhood at our website, npr.org. This afternoon, you can hear Jennifer's report on a very different approach for keeping seniors in their homes. In some instances, the sons and daughters of these seniors are using motion sensors to monitor their parents.
They may know that their mother got up in the morning, that she's been to the kitchen, she's opened the refrigerator, she's taken her medicine.
That's today on All Things Considered.